Welcome to Enid Monthly In Depth, the podcast with Enid people for Enid people. Today's guest is Enid Outlaw owner Jonathan Reed. From starring at point guard for El Reno High School to several stints overseas to owning a team in the TBL, find out what brought Jay Reed to Enid, some inside info about the Outlaws, and what you can expect from the team this year. Since we recorded this podcast, the team is on a 3-game winning streak, including a blowout win of the Waco Royals, so they definitely have a chance to be good this year. And as always, pick up a copy of the Enid Monthly all around town, visit enidmonthly.com, and like and share the Enid Monthly Facebook page. In the meantime, here's Jonathan. We're here with Jonathan Reed, the president and team owner of the Enid Outlaws basketball team, and we're really excited you're here. Thanks for being here, Jonathan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, great. Hey, listen, I want to talk to you a little bit about where you came up, how you got to Enid, why you decided on bringing the Outlaws to Enid, and that kind of thing. Sound good to you?
Yeah, sounds great.
All right. Well, I'm excited to hear about it. Yep. So, Jonathan, you're from Oklahoma, right?
Yep. Born and raised.
Yeah. Where were you born at?
Born in El Reno, Oklahoma, and also raised there.
Uh-huh. Did you play basketball, of course?
Yep, absolutely. Played in El Reno. I was on those state runner-up teams we had back in the 90s, and I guess that tells my age, but yeah. So I was on those basketball teams, grew up playing there and everything from there on up. Yep.
Well, cool. Your parents still live there, or did they move?
Yeah, my mom still lives there, actually in the same house I was raised in, which is cool. Which is across the street from my facility that I own there.
Yeah. So when you go home, you actually get to see your old bedroom and everything.
Huh? I do, man. It's changed a lot. My mom redecorated, but it looks pretty cool in there still.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I don't. I'm an only child.
Did you play a bunch of sports growing up besides basketball or just basketball?
I wish I did sometimes, but no, I played soccer. That was my first sport. And then the soccer coach was like, man, you might be a decent basketball player. You want to try it? And then I played basketball, fell in love with it, and I kind of just continued to play that throughout my career.
Were you at what position did you usually play?
Point guard. Yeah, I've been a point guard for a long time. Just size. I've always been the smallest little run of the group. So I actually was just been a point guard. They were like, hey, you're that little, that skinny. You're going to have to go out here and be able to handle the ball and shoot from the outside. So I kind of did that my whole career and just got to be fortunate enough to play the point. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did move to the 2-guard a little bit throughout my career, you know, because of my ability to shoot, but primarily the point guard.
Okay. And when did you graduate high school to El Reno?
99.
Okay. Yep. So you were a little behind. I graduated in 96, but back then wrestling was a huge deal in El Reno. Did Coach Randall ever try to get you to come out and wrestle?
Actually, there's a funny story about Coach Randall. He was my PE coach, I think in junior high. And he was in there recruiting wrestlers, obviously. And he looked at me. He was like, you need to be a lightweight wrestler. There's no way you play basketball. He said, you'll never, ever, ever make it in basketball. I'm going to tell you that right now. So you might as well be a wrestler. And I said, well, Coach, I'm sorry, man. I got to do it. And I tease him about that to this day.
Yeah, he had some really good teams back there in the 90s. And I think, I'm not sure if he's coaching now, but we really, when playing against or wrestling against El Reno, it was always a rough go for us.
Yeah, they were tough. And all my friends were wrestlers, Tyrone and all those guys. So I grew up with all those guys that played football and wrestled and everything else. So I got to be a fan, which I loved, but I just never participated myself.
So what'd you do after high school? Where'd you go?
After high school, I went to junior college at Cedar Valley College in Lancaster, Texas, suburb of Dallas, and had a good career there. Won a national championship my sophomore year there, and then I went to Arkansas State University from there.
For the four, is that a 4-year university?
It's a 4-year Division I school. Played there, and then there were some issues there a little bit, so I transferred my senior year to Clayton State, which is a Division II school in Atlanta area.
Uh-huh.
Which was great. I mean, I played for the winningest coach there, Gordon Gibbons. He's legendary. He was a good coach. We had a good little run there. Went to conference tournament, did well, and then kind of started my pro career.
Okay. How'd that go? What was that about?
Pro career was great. Went out to Summer Pro League, which it wasn't NBA Summer League. It was Summer Pro League then. Went out there, had some success, got picked up with that. And then from there, just kind of bounced around to different countries. Not bounced around, but I kind of trying to find my glitch, and I met a guy named AC Green. I don't know if you guys all know him, but former Laker. Mm-hmm. And he told me, he said, hey, man, your game is just more suited towards the European game. You know, the way you play, your style, you're not as tall and athletic like the NBA is moving to. You should try it. And so he put me on with another agent, and I kind of started my career that way. Went to China, and then just kind of went from there.
Okay. So you said your game, what were you kind of known for? Was it passing, ball handling?
Leadership. Honestly, okay. Leadership. I mean, some people ask me that and they say, hey, what's your best quality in your game? And I would say just my ability to lead. And I'm just going to just work hard everything. I can organize things, get people to where they need to be. I'm like a floor general. That's what I've been called, old school floor general. So I've kind of been that way my whole life and my whole career. I do the same thing with my business, my organization. I'm kind of the guy behind everything that has to lead everybody in the right direction. So I think it's just a natural fit.
Okay. Where did you like playing the most? You said you played in China. You played where else?
Played in China, Turkey, Estonia, Ireland, Dominican Republic, man, I'm leaving somebody out there, but all those places. Switzerland. My favorite place to play probably was Switzerland. Mm-hmm. I played with one of my best friends, Antonio Brown, and he played with me at Arkansas State, and it was just a cool experience. It was my first real, like, pro experience. The people there were cool. The culture was cool. It was a mixed. I didn't know, like, Switzerland was so mixed. It has a French-speaking part, a German part. And it was just an Italian part, and it was just a cool place to be, mm-hmm. you know, overall.
Well, a lot of people don't know that especially before TBL, that the basketball league, that it is real common, it still is, that there are just way more opportunities in Europe and overseas to play for good basketball players that aren't necessarily at the level of the NBA. Mm-hmm. Was the same case back then when you were playing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When I say back then, it wasn't that long
ago. Yeah, man, it kind of was. It was a couple years ago now. But, yeah, it was just an awesome. It was a great opportunity. And I was thankful that, you know, a guy like AC Green of that level recognized something. He saw something in me, and he presented that option to me. Because before, NBA is all I really thought about. You know, I had some guys that I knew that had played overseas, but nobody really talked about it really. And he was like, hey, man, this is a great option for guys where you can go play, pursue your career. But, I mean, you play less games. You have all these other stuff. You don't maybe not get the fame, and the money's definitely not NBA money. But if you have the love of game, it was almost even better for me because mm-hmm. I love to play. I mean, I wouldn't have been happy at the type of person I am and in my career. I wouldn't have been happy being a backup point guard in the NBA. You know, I wanted to be a guy that gets on the court and plays. And mm-hmm. I like to get minutes. And I led the league in minutes, you know.
Yeah.
You know, 6 years.
Well, that minimum salary in the NBA now is
yeah.
yeah, now, hard to turn that down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I'm a player's player. I still play to this day. You know, I played last season in the minor league, you know, that we play in here, the MLBA. And I've played in all these leagues, the ABA, the UBA, the UBL. And we've been successful in all of them, and I enjoy playing. So even if I do it for free now, I'm going to keep playing until I can't.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about what made you decide to say I'm going to be – well, you came back. You stopped playing professionally
at
some point.
Right.
When did that happen?
That happened in 2012-13.
Okay.
So I had a little life change. I went through a divorce and everything with my kids, so I got custody of my children. So that you know, I didn't feel good about going overseas and taking my family overseas in that circumstance. They had actually were with me and finished in Ireland with me, which was cool because my daughter was born over there and everything like that. But I thought it was just better for my family. They were starting to get to the age where they were going to school. So I thought it was just better for everybody to stay here and stay put. So
put down some roots.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of what I did. Came back to El Reno. Natural fit, come back home, get to build something at home. I've always wanted to build something here. So even though I went all the way around the world, Oklahoma is always home for me, and it's always been. And I just wanted to come home and build something cool. And I saw that, you know, back when I was coming up, there wasn't a lot of opportunities for guys. So I had to go to Texas. I had to go to this one. I had to travel always to get seen and to get noticed. And I was like, man, there needs to be more here. And nobody really wants to reach back. I won't say nobody, but not a lot of people reach back and want to do that. So I was like, I'm the guy for it.
Okay. So what did you start there in El Reno?
So I started my player development company, On Point Hoops, which is training athletes. So we do training, we do camps, we do clinics, we do things like that. And it turned into teams because some of these guys were like, well, you know, we're not getting minutes on our other teams. So I started these developmental teams mm-hmm. with kids that really – you know, I guess I won't say nobody wanted, but they weren't in high demand. That's what I'll say. And so we started them like that, and then it just started growing. Then the kids got better. Mm-hmm. And then they started winning. And then the next thing you know, like I had out of my first team that I started, we had five of those guys are college players, which are seniors now.
Okay.
Which, you know, that was great. They got to get their school paid for, and they're all great guys, you know, doing well and going to be doing something good in life.
Do people come from all over the country, or are they mostly local to for the development program?
Well, now, yeah. So then I started the Prep Academy, which is a kind of a program for people that were under-recruited. And under-recruited or underdeveloped. And so those people come from anywhere in the world. So with my contacts and my relationships with people all over the world, it helps me to get, you know, basically players from anywhere. And so we don't necessarily turn down players. You just have to fit a certain criteria. And you can come into our program, stay for 6 to 8 months, develop, and then we help you get college opportunities from that to get into school. And so really, you know, it's a leadership component where I teach the leadership portion of it, where, you know, we teach them life skills, leadership skills, stuff like that. And then also train you in basketball 2-3 times a day, kick your butt on the court, and then get you ready for, you know, playing college.
So you do that, that's all year round?
All year round, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, we have kind of two sessions. We have one that starts in September, runs, it just ended just now, like the first, second week of March. And then we take a little break, and then we have a summer session that comes in like June and July. And that's one where for the younger kids that are maybe still in high school, that maybe live in other states or other places, but still want an opportunity to train and get better, then they can come in during that one. The one during the September session, that's for more post-grad, kids that have already graduated high school, but maybe didn't get the looks, maybe didn't get a scholarship, but want to give it one more year to improve.
Okay.
And we play junior college. We play Northern over here. We play Seminole, Redlands.
During the regular season or just as scrimmages?
Yeah, during the regular season.
Oh,
we played them exhibition games.
Oh,
yeah,
so. Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting. So so you had a little bit of familiarity for Enid just by playing the local teams.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Enid's always been on my map. We've always gone through here for different things, you know, playing the junior colleges, doing stuff here. You know, just always been around. It's been an interesting place. I actually played an exhibition game in Mark Price Arena when it was there, when I was starting my career. Gary Vick, he was running Athletes First, and I think we came out here and scrimmaged the Storm.
Yeah.
And so I remembered it from then. And then so we were coming through here. We were doing a delivery thing that we were doing, my partner and I, we were doing it, and came through here, and it was mentioned to me. It was like, man, they got some big old place over there. And I said, oh, yeah, I remember that gym. And so we were coming through, and so we just came through, and I said, I think it was right here. And I was like, well, what the heck's that right next to it? Who plays there?
Yeah.
And it was like, nobody but the football team, the Aces or whatever. And I was like, well, we need to get some talks going, you know, some discussions going.
Well, what leagues did you, before the TBL, you said you had these other developmental teams. What kind of leagues did they play in that are available around the country?
Oh, yeah, that was the minor leagues. So we played in the ABA, which, you know, the ABA used to have a merger with the NBA. So that we played in that. We played in the MLBA, which is the Minor League Basketball Association. That's the league we currently play in with our second team. And we play in the UBA, which is Universal Basketball Association, and then the UBL, something basketball league.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many of them now, but we've played in all of them. We have championships in every one, I think. Oh, except ABA. For the ABA. The ABA, we didn't have a championship in that, but every other league, we've won a championship, or if not multiple, and they've just been what we were looking for to get, keep players playing. So I've placed over 70 players in European jobs and, you know, pro jobs from those leagues. And really, it's just for exposure. It's just for development purposes. And then when the TBL came along, I started watching it and watching it. And I was like, man, this is an even better tool to be able to help players on a higher level. So when I saw that opportunity, it just needs to be the right fit. So I needed the right city. I needed the right venue. I needed the right, just environment to make that type of situation work. And I was actually the general manager of my team in Switzerland. I mean, in Ireland. So I've had general manager's experience. So I was like, you need this right mix of things to make something like this great.
Yeah.
And I saw it in Enid.
So, you know, here in Oklahoma, we're pretty familiar with levels of baseball teams.
Right.
So you've got, obviously, you've got the pro MLB.
NBA, yeah.
Then you've got triple A, then you've got double A, you got single A.
Right.
And then other rookie league teams.
Yep.
And so we're pretty familiar with that. So talk about a little bit about where the TBL fits on that hierarchy in basketball.
Great. So you have the NBA, obviously, that's your major league. You have the G League, which is right under that, and then we're right
below that. You'd call that AAA, maybe?
Correct.
Okay.
And then we're right under that.
Yeah.
And then the league we play in with the Oklahoma, which the MLBA is right under that.
Okay. So
it's competitive, though. I mean, we have several players that, I mean, obviously with Lindy Waters making it now to the NBA, mm-hmm. he was in the G League then there. We have several players.
Yeah, we'll definitely want to talk about Lindy in a minute. Mm-hmm. So the back when the Storm were playing, the USBL, mm-hmm. they were kind of that same level.
Same level. Yep. Okay. So same level. Yep. It's kind of, and that league kind of went away. So this is kind of replacing that and the CBA. There was another league called the CBA that was right there with it.
That's where the Oklahoma City...
The Cavalry.
Cavalry,
that's right. Yep, absolutely, which is professional. And that's the biggest thing, that the other leagues that are below it are not full professional.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the difference in the leagues, and you know, which is what was intriguing to me when we started this journey.
So is TBL the only professional, full professional league other than the NBA and the G League?
Yeah, to my knowledge, yes.
Okay, interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, back then, it's kind of funny when I lived at this Baptist Children's Home, and we'd have to go to bed at 8 o'clock, and I would put my radio underneath my pillow so I could listen to the Cavalry games. And they had a really great announcer, and it was really kind of interesting.
Man, those games were cool, cool games. I used to see those games. I was like, man, this is hot. Yeah. Right here in Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
It used to be fun.
Oh, yeah. So it was definitely fun to listen to. So, well, I don't know if kids even listen to the radio anymore like that or games on the radio, but that was definitely my childhood. That was a big memory for me. But so the TBL, now that was started how long ago?
6 years.
Okay. And you said it was kind of in response to replace and to have a professional basketball league.
Right. Yep.
Do you know much about the history back
then?
I
do. And David Magley is the visionary behind it, and Evelyn Magley. And it was basically to give another professional option for players and to build a platform so players could do exactly what we've done with it, is to come here, develop, work on your weaknesses, get exposure, and move on to a higher level.
And so their business plan is that they either recruit or people – come to them and say, I'd like to be a team market owner. Right? Uh-huh. Is that right?
Yep. Team market owner. Okay. Yep. Yep.
And then they present a plan to them, and yep. then they do you have to pay an entry fee to get in?
Yeah. There's a big time commitment financially. So you have to be secure in what you're doing, and you have to know kind of what you're doing. And that was the biggest thing. I was super confident to make that financial investment in this, that I could be able to do well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are getting into it now, and they can last a year because, you know, they just lose a lot of money. I mean, as we saw last year, you know, the levels were different, the venues were different, you know, different things like that. And people think just if you have money or you know basketball, that you can run a professional basketball team, and that's not the case.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure. There are lots of moving parts, lots of things. That's with any business, really. You know, a lot of times we find out that if you're an electrician or you're at doctor's offices,
absolutely.
Doctors are some of the smartest people in the world, but they don't want to run their own office.
Absolutely.
And that's why they go work for hospitals.
Exactly.
So that lawyers, too, for that matter. So that they can be a great lawyer, but being a manager of a business is a total different thing. So.
Total different ballgame.
So, well, now TBL has gone through some pretty substantial growth over the last 2 or 3 years, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
So I think they've added 6 or 7 teams, or maybe even more.
16,
this year.
16, I think.
16 last this year. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only reason why I noticed is because I see on Twitter when they say, "Oh, we've got a new team market."
Man, it grew rapid. I'm not sure how I feel about it all, but yeah.
So, how many teams are in the TBL now?
44. I think it's 44.
Okay, and are they still divided into two conferences?
No, four.
Four conferences mm-hmm. now. Okay, all right. And then, so let's talk a little bit about last year. And so you said, okay, I want to start I want to be in the TBL.
Yep.
Did you already know you were going to be in Enid, or did you were you kind of just looking this way?
No, I had the plan down before I even said yes. So I talked to the Magleys. I think it was 2 years prior to that, or a year and a half prior to that. And I waited, and I did my research, and I visited with certain people. I did visit 2 or 3 other cities to see which one would be the best fit and which one I liked and which one I would be comfortable calling the home. Mm-hmm. Because I think that was an important step of it. You know, when I go to Ireland and when I went to that and I was in that situation, that was my home. You know, I lived there. I brought my kids there. We did everything. I mean, that's where I do. So that's the kind of the same thing that I wanted to do. And the other cities just didn't feel like home. You know, just the response from the people, the response from the city. The city was great for me here. The people at the Stride Center, Kevin was great and everything, you know, Tim and all those guys were great. And I just said, you know, this is some people that I would like to work with and build with. Mm-hmm. Because it has to be a long-term relationship. And that's why I named the team the Enid Outlaws instead of the Oklahoma Outlaws, which is our original name. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted it to have that feel of Enid, and it makes you know that it was your team. You probably heard me say that 10 times last year. It's your team. It's your team. It's our team. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I certainly for the event center, it's a great opportunity to get 16, 20 dates a year. So that's helpful for them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
The venue, let's talk about the venues in particular. So, you know, watching some of the games online last year at other venues and seeing pictures and that sort of thing, that Enid's got one of the nicest venues in the league.
We have the best venue in the league.
Okay.
And when I say the best, we don't have the biggest. As you saw last night, Beaumont has a 14,000 seat arena with all these different things or whatever, but it's not better than ours. Mm-hmm. And I say that with full confidence because this is the best venue for the level of basketball that we're at and for what we're doing for the fan experience. And that's what I saw immediately when I went into that venue. I said, wow, fan experience is going to be amazing. And my wheels are turning on how we can make it cooler.
Yeah.
How it can be no bad seats in the house. You buy a $10 ticket, you buy a $16 ticket, you're still going to have a good view of the game. You know, you're still going to feel like you're a part of the game.
And well, so I'll say you put 2,000 people at our arena, it feels pretty lively. You put 2,000 people in a 14,000 seat arena, it's going to seem dead.
So. That's it right there. And our fans are and the fans, you know, when we put a lot of people in that championship series, and it sounded amazing in there. Mm-hmm. And that's what I dreamed about, and that's what I wanted, and it came true.
Okay, so you got here, you saw the facility, you signed the contract, you're mm-hmm. really excited about putting the team together. What was your first step in deciding about players? Let's back up just a minute.
Yeah.
Is there a salary cap or a salary floor that you guys have to work with for the league?
So every player, they had like a range where you had to pay a player, and it was topped out at like $5,000 a month or something like mm-hmm. that. So, but I didn't really pay attention to that as much because I knew what budget I was going to be working with.
Yeah,
I know the level of basketball and I knew what I was going to do, especially the first year. So the goal was to create a budget and then create a business plan that would make sense for the first.
It would be sustainable, I guess.
And it'd be sustainable no matter what, if the city supported it or not, hoping that they would, mm-hmm. but also having something in a business plan that I could sustain it myself if I needed to. Yeah. And that was the biggest thing, because I wasn't going to let it fail no matter what, especially the first year, because, you know, it could take us a couple years to build some steam. It could take us a couple of years for people to believe that we were here and that we were going to stay, you know. But I guess there were some issues in the past with the storm, leaving and going to Oklahoma City. I got that question 100 times, like, are y'all going to move? Are y'all going to move? I'm like, well, if we're moving, it's going to look pretty weird to have the Enid Outlaws in El Reno or in, you know, UConn. I mean, that's going to sound weird, but, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so that was the biggest thing. So I had to make a business plan based on that. And then after that, it was just putting the coach in place. I put in those parts first. I had to think about what type of team I wanted to put on the floor and what style of play. And then I basically just went out after that and found people that fit into that model.
So what was that style of play that you wanted to play?
Kind of an old school style of basketball. That's what's missing right now. The game right now is ISO ball, not team play, everybody out for themselves, showboating, kind of all that stuff. And I wanted to get away from that. That's not the style that I like to play. That's not the style that I want to be represented by. So I wanted old school, move the ball, play together, team concepts. Anybody can lead us in scoring every night, you know, that type of stuff.
Inside, and that happened out. Last year, for sure. I mean, absolutely. There were several different players that led the team in scoring.
Inside out, you know, we're going to have an old school, you know, a big man that can do different things and score on the block. We had shooters. We had a true point guard that would pass the ball and not shoot it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the team I wanted to build. And so I had to get the right coach on board. I had to get the right, you know, managers and everything else on board. And then after that, the last thing is to find the players.
Okay. So how was it difficult to find the players that you wanted? Was it, you know, there were only a few of them that, I don't, maybe two or three that were from Oklahoma, I think. Right.
Four.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. So obviously you weren't just going down to Oklahoma State or UCO and picking up guys from there. So how did you go about finding those players?
That's actually where I started, though. So here's how I do it. And this, you know, some people agree with it, some people don't. But I always start with Oklahoma guys. So I'm always going to give the benefit of the doubt to my Oklahoma players first. Then when I don't have something that fits, then I'll go outside of the box and go find them. So I started with my Oklahoma guys, and you know,
who was the first guy that you signed?
The first guy I signed was not with us anymore, actually.
Sure, but do you,
who was it?
Did he play last year?
I don't even remember who the first guy we signed. Oh no, it was Chance. It was Chance Comanche. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I say Oklahoma guys, but here's the thing: when you have a 6'11" kid that can dunk, Chance was actually the first guy I got. So yeah, Chance came across.
Well, listen, my desk. I did want to talk specifically about him. So how did he come about?
Yeah, he came about. So I was actually the first player I was going for was an Oklahoma player that played in Edmond, and he had the same agent as Chance. And the agent just basically was like, hey, I got this big kid that's going to a draft and a couple combines and something. You know, I could show him to you, just see kind of, you know, if you like him. And then I watched his video and I was like, what? Where's this guy at? He was like, oh, he's in California hanging out, you know, whatever. He's just training and just kind of sitting around. I was like, I'll sign him right now. I was like, because I knew based on what I saw in his video, and then I started researching him. Automatically, I went to the Google and I started Googling his stats and everything else. And I had seen where he hadn't been really maximized his skill set. I realized that he hadn't really didn't get the ball a lot. You know, he's always been behind another big that was a little bit better or, you know, more well known than he was. And so I was like, ooh, that's that guy. If I can get him to play in the post for us, we can build around him. Mm-hmm. So he was the first guy I just signed outright, you know, just like that. And then
did he even come in for a tryout before you signed him?
Or tryout? Heck no.
So you just said,
I just signed him and I was praying that he was in shape a little bit because I was like, man, I'm gonna work you out. So I brought him in a little bit early.
Yeah,
I did bring him in a couple of days early, take him around Enid, and I worked him out at the YMCA down here and just kind of did some workouts with him. I saw he was in, you know, really wasn't in shape, but he had the skill set, the great touch. He had all the tools. He'd been coached. But he just, you know, he was just missing a couple things. And I was like, man, you're going to get the ball and you're going to be great.
Yeah. Well, and obviously he was. He turned into the league MVP last year.
Absolutely.
Averaged a double-double of 20-something points a game and was certainly fun to watch.
Oh, so yeah.
Did you know that he – did? I mean, obviously you're going to say that you saw potential in him.
Yeah.
Did you see the potential for him to be the MVP? Did you know that he was
– No. I mean, you know, I'd be lying to you if I thought that he was going to be the MVP like that. But I did see the potential of him being great. Uh-huh. Yeah, and I knew it. And I said, he's going to be a potential NBA guy, you know, and I still stand by that. I mean, he has the tools. It's just up to him how hard he wants to work, if he wants to develop. And then it also comes down to putting yourself in the right situations. We were the right situation for him at that time.
Yeah.
Because he'd never been the man, quote unquote. You know, people like to use that. I'm the man, you know, or I want to be the man. Well, he got to be the man, and he rose to the occasion, and he played like that, and he did his thing.
Well, that's what they say, that you've got all these guys that you've got 1,000 guys that could be the 14th man on an NBA team that are all about the same level.
That's right.
And it's just that right situation, the luck of getting to that spot.
That's right.
And getting the opportunity more than anything.
So, absolutely.
So where's Chance at now?
He's in Turkey.
Okay. Yep. Is that a good league?
A great league, and he's doing great in it. He may get the MVP over there now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he's in the runnings, I think, you know, top three.
And how old is he?
Chance is probably 25 or 26.
Okay, so he's still relatively
young. Yeah, he's young. Yeah, he's got some time. Okay. If he just keeps putting it together, I think he's got some good things ahead of him for him.
Now, another, obviously, a guy that you've already mentioned once that we're hearing a lot about. But we knew because he went to school in Norman, then went to Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
What was Lindy doing when you signed him? Lindy Waters III.
He had just got back from doing some workouts in Florida. He was working out with some teams in Florida, trying to get on with, you know, a couple of the NBA teams, a couple of G League people down there. And he was working out and just wasn't working out for him.
Wasn't getting a lot of actual game time.
No, he wasn't getting a roster spot. Uh-huh. So he was just kind of doing workouts and just trying to get on and trying to get on a G League team and just trying to, you know, do that. And then at the time I met him, he was actually just not doing anything currently. Mm-hmm. A player of ours that played at Oklahoma State with him actually referred him to us, which was funny. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, man, I said, I'm trying to get a hold. He said, yeah, I know Lindy. And I said, you know Lindy? He was like, oh, yeah, we played at O State together. And I said, for real? Call him.
Yeah.
And that's how we kind of got hooked up. So we invited him to practice. he came to practice and he just kind of watched and he kind of sat around for a while and looked at everything. And then we sat
because
down
you
and
signed him late, right?
Right before, he was probably the last guy we signed.
Yeah,
before the season. And we just sat down and talked about everything and our options. And I laid out a plan for him. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, man, you know, just like I did for Chance and most of the other players, I said, hey, this is what could help your career, do this. And I said, I know it's not ideal. You know, we're not the most high paying, you know, job. And I know you have aspirations of playing in the NBA, but if you want to ever get to that level, you can't take a season off just chilling.
Yeah.
You know, you got to play, you got to prove your value, you got to work on the stuff that you're missing in order to put it in your game so people can see it.
Yeah. And get some games on tape too. I mean, against 100%. other good players.
100% in a professional league. Yeah. I mean, either way, I mean, it's going to look good because if you're dominating that level, then they know you should be probably on the next level. That's how it works. And a lot of guys don't even see it that way sometimes. And it's like they're too good for it. But, hey, he didn't at all. I mean, initially there was a little bit – he was a little reluctant. I'm sure he had some mixed reviews from other people, you know. People around you are always like, oh, don't mess with that, blah, blah, blah. But look what it turned out in for him, you know.
Well, so he – and for people that didn't know, he ended up going to the G League.
Yeah, yeah. So he left us mid in the finals. So he didn't play the championship series with us. You know, a situation came up, and we talked about it. It was fully, you know, discussed amongst us and our staff and everybody, and we talked about it. And it was just too good of an opportunity for us to be selfish for that. Mm-hmm. You know, he needed to make a decision that was best for his career at that time, and that's what our goal is, to do that. And I told him that. I said, you know, it's more important for you to move on with your career than to stay and help us win a championship, because at the end of the day, you going on and making it, or if you don't make it, even if he wouldn't have made it, it would have been the right decision.
Well, and that's kind of what the TBL is for, right? That's one of the good things about the TBL is you guys are developing guys that can go on to being higher paying jobs, more.
That's the vision of the Magleys. I mean, they wanted that to happen. I mean, Evelyn and in the league meeting, she's always saying that, move your players on. We want to move guys on. We want to do this. Dave is the same way. He's always excited and celebrating when we can move players on, even if it's in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, because you can't be selfish and hold on to these guys. It's like your kids. You love them to death, but when they get a certain age, you got to let them go.
Yeah. That's something thing. That I think that as fans of the team that we need to get used to is that.
Absolutely.
That, and we'll talk a little bit about that, because only a couple of the players are going to be coming back this year from last year. And we fell in love with these guys. And, you know, they were around town and doing camps and things like that here.
Yep.
And so sometimes it's kind of hard to think, well, man, we're not going to see those, you know, some of our fan favorites. But now going back to Lindy for just a minute, the one thing he did do is he made the best of his opportunities because there was nothing that said that Lindy looked like an NBA player at any point that you could have said, oh, he's so far and above these guys that he's going to be in the NBA next year. He went to the G League, led the league in three-pointers or three-point percentage, and then he got called up because he had a good opportunity for the Thunder, right?
And not only did he just get the opportunity, I mean, he worked his butt off now.
Yeah.
That's what these guys are missing, some of those steps. He came in. Do you know how many times Lindy told me no when it came to time limit appearances or workouts?
Yeah.
Never. Yeah. Every time we said, hey, Lindy, let's go do this camp, let's go. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for extras. He didn't ask anything. He was like, okay, Jerry, where we're going today?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, that's the type of heart he has. That's the type of person he is. And so.
That's why he's getting the opportunities. Then,
absolutely. Hey, let's go work out. Well, we already have practice, Jay Reed. That's what I hear from other guys.
Yeah.
Lindy's like, okay, let's go. All right. I mean, are we going full strength or do we need to do this? I need my ankle break, you know, whatever. And then we go out, and that's what it was. And so he never really complained about that stuff at all. I mean, he was just – so he took advantage of this opportunity and this platform that the league has built first, mm-hmm. and then we built it. So, you know, that's kind of the thought. The league had the vision to be able to put it together. And we need the league to be strong and to be like they are and do great job of marketing. And then it takes individual owners that have the heart for the players and have the heart for the cities in order to make this whole thing work. Yeah. Then it takes the right type of players with the right mentality to come in and make that thing work too. Because if you have the wrong type of mentality as players, it will not work. You have to come in wanting to work. You have to come in to want to do the camps and the clinics. You have to come in with a servant's heart almost to hey, I'm going to serve too. And then in the end, I'm going to receive, you know, what I need out of it.
Yeah, and that definitely helps make make fans out of the community too. When you see guys like that as well. So, is he the only guy that's made the NBA from the TBL so far?
No, there was a well, No, there's been two other ones, I believe, that got 10-day contracts.
Okay, but he's the only one that's actually...
Two-way, and then he's in there. I mean, he's done, yeah.
Yeah.
For this year.
Well, he's had, obviously, being with the Thunder, that gives him a little more opportunity.
Yeah, because they've the current status, right?
Yeah, the current status. And, you know, it's funny, I look at the scores and I get mad when they win right now. So, I mean, it's hard to say that sometimes, but it's true. But they've got a really good base, and at least it's an opportunity. He gets in there, shows what he does, work hard, keeps making threes. That's his key, man. If he can be a 3-and-D guy,
that's right.
Then, and from what I read, he's really worked on his 3-point shot the last couple of years. So that's where.
I mean, he really works on the shooting aspect of it. We were just trying to focus on the defensive side of it. You know, that's when that's where we attacked that and putting it on the floor, being more aggressive, you know, different things like that. And I think he's doing it.
Okay. So speaking of 3-point shooting, I think our last player that I wanted to address, because he was a fan favorite too, was Charlie Buckets Marquardt.
Oh, yeah.
So he was a pretty fun guy to watch. Shot almost 50% from three last year.
Absolutely.
Which seems like that would be just, I mean.
It was crazy.
And so where's he at now?
Charlie is playing for Syracuse. Well, he's in Uruguay right now.
Okay.
And that's something that, you know, obviously.
He's from New York.
Yeah, from New York. And so, you know, we had a conversation about everything when he gets back. He's going to get back, I think, this month, at the end of this month. And, you know, he's going to go play for Syracuse this year. They signed him. And it's, you know, we loved him.
Yeah.
We were the only people that, you know, drafted him at the time. Sherry and my other assistant, Billy Hyatt, they were looking at him and they said, hey, you're going to love this guy, last year in the draft. And he got overlooked. I mean, we got him in the 28th pick, and I mean, everybody.
Was he that good of a shooter? I mean, is he a dead-eye shooter like that, or was that?
He didn't shoot it like that in the draft, but he did a lot of good things that we just liked. You know, we saw him make some shots and everything like that, but he didn't get the ball a lot in that, and he kept playing. Mm-hmm. He did just some things that we just liked, took charges, you know. He just looked like he knew how to play. And so I said, with the old school style we're playing, we're not looking for the hot flyer and the flashy guy. We need someone that can make shots, play hard, and play within our system and what we're trying to do, and that we can market and make better.
Yeah.
And he totally fit the mold, and he came in here, and from day one, he worked his tail off. And even in, you know, I don't, you know, he may not want me to tell him, but in training camp, you know, some of the staff was like, man, can this kid even play? I mean, like, dang. Like, and I said, no, we're sticking with him. I kept saying, no, there's something there, because I saw something in him that a lot of players don't have, that toughness, that New York toughness. Mm-hmm. He had some of that where he's not backing down from anybody. And I really liked that, you know. And then he was willing to learn. Like, he would ask questions like, what do you think's up with my shot? Or, you know, what do you think's up with this? Or what do you think's this? And then he would go out and be working on it the next day.
Yeah.
And so those are the, I mean, do you see the common things between,
yeah, sure,
you know, the guys that are successful? It's just, it comes down to work ethic and mindset.
Well, do we play Syracuse this year? Are we going to have an opportunity?
Hopefully. I mean, we got to make it to the playoffs. Yeah, it'll be in the playoffs if we play them. But it'll be good to see him either way. I mean, Charlie's my guy. We still talk. And it was just a better fit for him there,
well,
being
sure,
close to home.
New York City or New York area to Enid, Oklahoma. I mean, that's a pretty big step for a couple of months out of your life.
It was, but he loved it. I mean, he loved it here. He loved the fans. I mean, he really loved his experience. And I'm not saying that he won't ever be back. We'll see how that situation plays out and just, you know, kind of see what happens.
Syracuse seems to, based upon the playoffs that we had with them, they seem to have a pretty solid program.
They do. They
so
do.
So I read some of their articles in their local magazine and that sort of thing. So
that ownership group is getting better and better and better. You know, it's a group of them. So that's what people.
They were a little feisty at the game.
I mean, I had to go over there and be security a little bit. You know, I calmed down a little bit, my buddy.
Yeah.
But yeah, we always hang out when we go to the draft. I like those guys and gal. But you know, there's a lot of ownership groups in the league. There's some that have groups, and there's some, you know, solo owners. Some have NBA guys behind them. This is just me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I have my partners and my people with me in my group, but this is just me. So we don't have some of the budgets that other people have, you know, and that's the truth. So, you know, are we at the bottom? No, absolutely not. But we're definitely not at the top.
Yeah.
So some of these people are millionaires and billionaires at this point. And there's,
well, like
there's
Houston's,
two.
The NBA players owns a team in Houston,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, Steve Francis.
You
can't compete with that. Ricky Davis, we just played them, Sugar Land Imperials. And you got Kendrick Perkins. You had Jerome Williams.
Where's Kendra? Is he with Houston too?
He's with Beaumont.
Oh, Beaumont.
The team we just played in, yep. And played yesterday. So you got guys with some NBA money, but that's not even that. Some of the other California teams and Indiana teams, they got ownership groups. They put a bunch of people together with money, and they kind of got together and did it all. Yeah. So we're competing with that. But at the end of the day, this is what I always tell my staff. I'm like, at the end of the day, you got to play basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about that. I mean, making money out of this thing and the money side of it, the financial and the business side of it is one thing, but at the end of the day, you got to play basketball and develop players.
Well, one thing you said that you talked about just your connections being able to find you some players, but you mentioned the combine. So talk a little bit about the TBL combine and how that finds you players.
Good. Yeah, the combine is a great thing. The league puts together a draft combine, which is 200-300 players. I don't know. It's a bunch of players out there. And we go out there for a couple days and watch games all day. And it gives guys that are unseen an opportunity to be seen in front of 40 different teams and get picked up right there. At the draft.
And these guys that come in, that they are generally open to playing wherever?
They have to be.
Okay.
Yeah, because anybody can draft you.
Okay.
So this year we were looking around and we're like, hey, this is what positions we need, but we might have to take the best available based on your draft position. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I don't know what it is, but we always get a sucky draft position. We always get in the 28s, the 30s, you know what I'm saying?
How does that get determined?
It's not random.
Okay, so it's not win-loss.
Man, I need to, I don't know what it is. I'll never win at a casino if these are my chances.
Yeah.
Need to have somebody else pick the numbers or whatever.
So at this at the combine this year, were there two or three players maybe that you guys didn't get that you think we should keep an eye on for this year?
Well,
they're going to be really good.
Don't know really. There was only one other guy that we really liked. We got the guy that we really wanted, and we'll see how he develops. He got hurt in training camp. The player we got hurt the second day of training camp, and he's been kind of in and out ever since. Dealing with a hamstring injury those take a long time to heal.
So just one round in the?
No, it was two rounds.
Two rounds. Okay.
Second guy we released in training camp. It just didn't fit what we wanted.
Yep.
But our first round guy is still around, just kind of hanging, and we're just trying to figure out if we can.
Who's that?
Get him healed. Alex Brown.
Alex Brown. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about the team this year. So what are you – it's pretty much a brand new team today.
Yes.
You're expecting a couple of guys from last year to trickle in as they get done with their seasons. Can you give us a little preview about who might be coming back?
Sure. Well, we got Q32. Which is Quintel, he's a guy that's returning from last year from the championship team. He's already here.
Okay.
So he's the only player from last year that we returned our center last year. He was a backup to Chance.
Okay.
And he's just a great guy, good person, a great player. And we were like, man, let's bring him back. And he agreed to terms and we got him back. So we wanted to start with him. And
is he the starting center now?
Yes, he is. Okay. Yep. He started center last night. And he's been doing fine, and he's been doing really good. I mean, and so that's one guy returning.
And you said his name was Quintel?
Yeah.
Okay, and Q32.
Yeah, Q32.
All right. All right, cool. Exactly. Keep an eye on him?
Yeah, keep an eye on him. He's going to be coming in. He's doing his thing. And then the rest of the guys are all new guys. But one guy that we've already signed and came to agreement with is Devin Harris, our starting point guard from last year.
Was he number one?
Yep, number one. And he's just finishing his season in Estonia. He's been with me the longest out of every player. He was with me since 2016. He's played on our Oklahoma teams. And
he came a little late last year too, right?
Because he was playing in Estonia. So out of our semi-pro type team, we've been getting guys, overseas for a while. So he was one of the guys that I've been working with for a while, getting him jobs overseas. So when this situation came up, I didn't want him to leave a guaranteed contract to come play with us. But his season finished in March, which the timing was great. So he was able to come off, miss a few games, and then just come straight in, practice, and earn a spot.
Okay.
And it just so happened it worked out right when Lindy hurt his ankle. So he got to come in and directly and get some minutes.
And so he'll be the full-time point guard?
As of now,
okay.
But so, he's got to earn a spot.
Yeah.
With us, of course he did something last year, but how we're going to run it is true to we used to do old school. You got to come in here and you got to earn your spot and beat somebody out.
Got it.
We're not going to give, that's what I think is wrong sometimes with the NBA. They just kind of put guys in on their reputation and throw them in there and just do that. And you got to earn it with our team. That makes it special and makes it a lot better.
All right. Who else should we look for that you think are really going to be fan favorites?
Omega Harris.
He's number 0, right? Zero.
Zero. Yep. Okay. Number 0. Yep. We've talked to Omega, and we've come to some agreements with him, and he's switching agents, so we're just trying to work out all the details with his agent of when he's going to be back. But Omega was a fan favorite last year. His energy on the court is just amazing. He's super lightning quick, and he played great in that championship game. In the last closing minutes of that game, he pretty much put us on his back and defensively and offensively and did his thing. So
yeah,
we're excited to have him back. He's an Oklahoma guy. Devin's an Oklahoma guy. Anytime we can have our Oklahoma guys back to play in front of their fans. He's currently, Omega's in Armenia right now, and his team is going deep in the playoffs. So, you know, we'll know when we get him maybe in a couple of weeks or so.
Well, and we skipped over this a little bit. We're talking about some of the good players from last year and where they're at. But tell me a little bit about what it was like winning the championship. I mean, that's kind of the first year in the league. It's been around for several years. You're playing in the nicest venue in the league. That's pretty cool that you guys were able to put together a team that was able to just, I mean, and when I say, dominate the league, really. You won 2 out of, you know, you didn't even
best
lose
record,
a game.
Best record in TBL history.
Yeah. So the only team even close was Houston. And right. So, like we talked about, was funded by an NBA player.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that. How that made you feel. And
honestly, it was a great feeling. I mean, for me, it's amazing for the players. I mean, I was more excited that, you know, 9 out of our 11 guys got signed somewhere. You know, they got to, you know, play professionally and follow their dreams and do everything that they wanted out of it. And the championship was just like the icing on it, the cherry on the sundae, you know. Mm-hmm. Because for me, as much as I love winning, because I do, but getting those guys jobs and how they call me now and text me and say, man, I'm playing. Did you see my game last night? Did you see my dunk? Man, I'm doing that. And just to see them, you know, doing that was big for me. Winning the championship was great for the fans. I was really happy that I could bring something cool to Enid. Enid Sports hasn't been great, not throwing any shots at anybody at all, but Enid Sports has struggled for a long time. And I think the people and the fans of Enid needed something to cheer for. And they needed something to get behind that was going to be successful.
Yeah.
And win. And I thought that's what I was most proud of. When I go down here and people say, man, that was so cool. We went to the game. We won the championship, the national championship in Enid. I have a certain sense of pride about myself where I know I put a plan together and it actually worked.
Yeah, that's really good.
So it means a lot.
And you've got a pretty solid group of core fans already.
Oh, yeah.
That, a couple hundred people that are going to buy the tickets, going to be at every game.
Sure.
Maybe even, and we'll talk about this in a minute, watching the games online.
Oh, yeah.
So that's really cool. So what else do you provide that you want to tell the people of Enid that you come out and see this game, check us out? What's really great about what they're going
to
see?
Just the fan experience overall. You can touch us. You know, you can come to the, and when I say that, don't put your hands on me because I might blow you. But I'm just saying, you can come to our game. You can see us. We're going to be at your school. We're going to be at the doing community events. And then afterwards, you can come down and get autographs. I mean, my players sign autographs after every single game.
Yeah. You so come stick down, around after the game. You can get an autograph.
Stick down after the game. Come down there. They're going to talk to you. We're going to be at, you know, doing basketball camps and clinics where we can show you how to play and how to shoot. Last year, Lindy did my shooting clinics. He did a great job, bang-up job. Not enough people took advantage of those things. We were out there. We were doing them, and the people that did really benefited and really loved it. The people that didn't, you know, maybe you come out this year and come to our shooting clinics. Get to know some of these guys on that level, especially for their skill sets, you know. I try to put my players, you know, the ones that are post. Like Q has some great post moves. So I try to have him working with the big kid that maybe – you know, needs to learn some post moves. So I try to match them up and put people in roles where they can be successful and help the community.
Well, maybe I'll come out so I can get some moves for my YMCA games.
Absolutely, man. Get some buckets out there. So I got a guy that can teach you how to foul the right way.
I don't need any help knowing how to foul.
Your wrestling background.
I can foul with the best of them. It's absolutely. Those noon ball games can get pretty wild.
So. Yep.
But, who else on the team? We talked about the guys that may be coming back. Are there a couple of newcomers that you really want to point out to keep an eye on?
It is Ricardo Artist. He was at Dallas, so he's the enemy. He used to be the enemy. With Dallas. He's the one of the games we lost last year with Dallas at Dallas. But he's with us now, And I'm telling you, he plays with a lot of energy.
What position does he play?
He's a small forward.
Okay.
So but he can play anywhere. I mean, he'll guard the post, he'll rebound, he'll shoot the three, he'll drive on you. He's one of the most versatile players on our team and has the most, I would say, one of the most energetic personalities out of everybody here. Okay. You know, I would say that's a guy you definitely want to watch. But to be honest with you, you're not going to miss him anyway. You see him play for 2 minutes, you're going to put your eyes and focus on him.
Yeah.
So we just got to make sure we keep him in the right position so he can do what he does.
Okay.
Also, you know, a guy that's the silent assassin, I would say, is Kadavion Evans. Evans on our team, he wears number one right now. And let me just tell you something, this guy is tearing it up.
Gonna have to fight Devin to get his number back?
Man, he is. I think they have to play one-on-one or something for it or something. I don't know. But he is, I mean, he's playing great. He's played at a Division I school in Louisiana. And, I mean, he's a rookie, but, I mean, you wouldn't know it out there. That kid plays like a warrior. And in both games, he's just been out there just fighting. He goes hard on both ends. He's kind of quiet. You know, but he has a very good court awareness and a good presence on the court.
Okay.
He plays like a mature veteran and he's young.
Now, before we started recording, you talked a little bit about that some old Storm fans might recognize a name on the team this year. Who's that?
John Felix. I can't even say the last name, but so I won't even say it, but I just call him John Felix. Yeah. And then he was he played with the Oklahoma, the Blue, which was the 66ers back in the day, the G League team.
Okay.
He played at the University of Alabama. He's a little bit older. I won't say his age on air, but he's a little bit older, but he's a warrior.
Still got a little game, huh?
Oh, yeah. He's got a little game. He's been playing in France. He came over earlier in the season and was training with us and playing with us, and he helped us on our coaching staff. And, I mean, he just goes to battle. And so we were having a need for his position and kind of his skill set. And so we're bringing him back. And so, you know, this league, I like to say, is for guys that are starting their career or guys that are at the end of their career that want to still play it out and still play at a high competitive level. But mostly, you know, you very rarely find a guy like this guy. He's a team guy. He's and he just competes every night.
Sounds like maybe a coach on the floor too.
Yeah, have a coach on the floor. He can keep the guys calm. And so he's been playing great. I mean, he had a very good game last night. Double-double, I believe. I don't know. I mean, I'll have to check the stats. But just his stuff on the stats don't always come up because, I mean, he may get a tip or he may just be in the way. He got the other big in foul trouble and fouled him out just because he's relentless.
Is he a power forward?
Yeah, power forward. Okay. Yep, he plays the power forward. He can also play the five. If he was a little bit younger, he probably played the 3-2. He could shoot it a little bit, drive it, post it. And so he played for the Storm. He was here with the Storm before he went and worked out with the Cleveland Cavaliers back in the day. And so he remembered that. He remembered Enid. He still has some friends here in Enid. And he was just like, man, I'll come and do whatever you want me to do.
Well, good. That sounds really cool. Well, the other new face is the coach. So tell us a little bit about the coach.
Yeah, Mark Danhoff. Been great. I mean, he has a Division I assistant coaching background. So this is kind of one of his first major head coaching jobs. Okay. But knows his X's and O's. I mean, we checked our references with this guy a lot, and he was highly recommended by a lot of people. And we talked to him, and we thought he was the right fit over some other guys simply because of his temperament. We're looking for somebody that could be calm and keep it calm and kind of lead our guys because there could be some bumps and bruises in the season, you know, with a whole new group of guys. You got to have somebody that can kind of keep everybody engaged and keep everybody together. And we felt like he's good at that. Plus, he knows X and O's, and he could, you know, learn how to strategize against the other teams and do a really good job of finding teams' weaknesses.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, obviously, the goal is a championship every year.
Sure.
And so that's what we're shooting for. But we also have to understand you've got a whole new group of people.
Yeah,
whole new,
it can take time.
But they are going to see some good basketball.
Absolutely.
We know that.
Yeah, and that's what I tell everybody. Like, I'm like, you know, we're not going to win a championship every year. I hope we do, of course, but we may not win it. But what you're going to see is our guys play hard. Yep. I mean, that was the one thing that someone said to me the other day. I think, you know, it was like, man, your guys play hard. You know, they're going to play with respect. We're not going to be disrespectful like some other teams that we've seen in the league. And they get hit up by the league. The league's like, no, we're not having it. But you know, you're going to come out and get something that your kids can and you say, hey, man, look at these guys. Look how hard they play. Look how they compete every time. Look how they're not disrespectful. They do this, they do that. That's what I want from our organization. And hopefully we win some games down, you know, as a result of it. But I truly believe that if you do the right things off the court and you take care of this and you work your tail off, that it will result in wins.
Yeah. Now look at the schedule. We had a lot of Friday games, a lot of Sunday games, yeah. That sort of the home schedule.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Where can they get tickets?
Get tickets at the Stride Bank Center. Go to their website, stridebankcenter.com.
Yep.com.
And then go to that one, the Facebook page. They have a Facebook page and everything like that, but that's where I would get tickets.
Start at $10, is that right?
Yep, $10 tickets, and it goes all the way up to floor seating. I think the highest pack one we got is $35. Very reasonable tickets. We wanted to keep it that way. I always plan to keep it that way, if possible. You know, I don't want it to be a life or death decision to be able to go to a basketball game. I want it to be very affordable. And as you know, in the Stride Center, there's no bad seat. So a $10 ticket, you could still have a great view of the game
for sure.
And have a good time. And so that's that. I'm staying away from a lot of Saturdays if possible because so many other youth sports and things going on.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to fill those gaps in entertainment on Sunday afternoons when people are kind of chilling, kind of hanging around, needed something fun to do. And then Friday nights, you know, so a lot of people don't go out of town on Fridays because, you know, you have school, you know, that day. So maybe they want something fun to do on a Friday night. So we try to think about the community when it comes to that and make games at a time that everybody would enjoy them.
Yep. Got some good halftime entertainment, dance team. Got a cool mascot, Rowdy.
Yeah. Rocky.
Yeah,
that's all right. He's Rowdy too now. Rowdy Rocky. We might need to put that on something. But yeah, Rocky's going to be back. As you know, we had to, you know, Rocky left last year. And that's something that he was great, but had some different conflicts and, you know, in life and work and all that other stuff. So he wasn't with us at the end of the year, but hey, Rocky was amazing. And so we have a new Rocky coming in, which is going to bring the same energy and be really good.
Dance offs with some of the 80-year-old ladies.
Absolutely. So if you want to challenge them, if anybody wants to challenge them, I'm telling them, come on out and we can have the dance off. Cause you know, that's what we'll do. We'll pull you out of stands in a second, have a dance off. And you know, we got a new dance team. So the dance team will be performing, which is going to be great. And yeah, we'll just have some other tricks up our sleeve.
Well, good. And I really like the merchandise. I mean,
great.
Whether you like the colors are great. So even if you weren't necessarily an Outlaws fan,
exactly.
the gray and the white and the black look nice and
neutral, right?
Yeah, I wear my Outlaws shirt playing basketball or out and all the time. So, but yeah, well, anything else that you want to talk about? So get this. You can get your season tickets at StrideBankCenter.com. You've got a personal website for the team, InitOutlaws.com. You can check out the team schedule, all that kind of stuff. TBL has a pretty good website. That's how I keep track of other teams. I'm a big stats nerd.
Yeah.
And so as long as teams turn in their stuff on time, which that's a little bit of a problem every once in a while, but then you can keep track of who's leading the league and maybe we'll have some guys that are leading the league in rebounds or assists or whatever this year. So,
absolutely.
So that's definitely cool to get. And then tell us how, if you're interested in buying or watching the streaming games, watching the away games, where would you go?
TBLTV.com.
Okay.
And it's been up and down, to be honest, but I think they've figured it out now. So TBL, that way you can watch the road games. We had a watch party at my facility in El Reno the other night, and it was a blast. And we brought some snacks and stuff. And I would suggest people do that. Go watch the games. That way you can see all the road games and the home games.
Yeah.
Go on there, fill it out. It's I don't even know how much it costs, but just do it. And it's
per game, it's not very expensive.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. You can watch all the games, even the other teams, you know,
yeah.
Which is cool because you get to see some of the teams that we're going to be playing. You may be able to be bored and just watch them, you know, so it's really cool.
And when's the first home game?
First home game is this Friday, the 11th, at home against Pottawatomie Fire, other Oklahoma team.
So I don't know if this podcast will be out by the 11th, but it'll probably be out on the 14th. But,
oh, yeah.
So we're 1-1 right now.
Uh-huh.
What have you seen from the team that you've really liked, and what do you think we need to improve on?
What I really like is our ability for our guards to score different ways. We hit threes. We can drive. We can do different things. We get some mid-range. You know, I thought we relied a lot on our three-point shooting because Chance was in there a lot. What I don't, and I think we need to improve on, is our defense. We need to defend a lot better. Last year we had Chance in there and Tavares, and those guys did a great job of protecting the rim, mm-hmm. putting their hands up, you know, changing shots and stuff like that. And this year we're just not doing that. And so guys are getting too many layups and getting too many points in the paint on us. And so I really think we need to change that part. But, you know, overall, I think we will. We have some solutions to that too, some tricks up our sleeve. You know, I'm never going to sit back and watch a problem and not do something about it or have a plan to fix it. And so I think we have we've made some suggestions and some things we're going to do to fix that.
All right. So, well, great. Well, I really appreciate you being here, Jonathan.
Yeah, man.
Everybody else, pick up a copy of the Enid Monthly at any of the newsstands around town. We've got 40 different locations. Check out enidmonthly.com or the Facebook page. Got all kinds of information, including a lot of write-ups of the home games for the Enid Outlaws that we do there on the website. So thanks for doing this, and appreciate everything you do for Enid.
Thank you.